Psalm 68. Would you turn with me this morning to Psalm 68? That's where we will be studying together today. If you get to Psalm 68, you'll notice this is a pretty big psalm. We're not going to be tackling the whole psalm together. The first six verses are where we're going to be studying together today in Psalm 68. And these are the words that are recorded for us. It's for the director of music of David. It's a psalm, a song. He writes this: "May God arise. May his enemies be scattered. May his foes flee before him. As smoke is blown away by the wind, may you blow them away. As wax melts before the fire, may the wicked perish before God. But may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. Sing to God, sing and praise his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord, and rejoice before him. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land." It was about 3 months ago that I found myself sitting in my office feeling very, very stressed. We had just kind of found out about everything happening with COVID-19. We'd had a service here on Sunday that was kind of a hodgepodge trying to figure out how to stream it live. Some of you were here. It's actually the last service we had with people actually here for it. We'd had to cancel Awana Awards night last week. And as I was looking in the face of COVID-19, I was trying to figure out, what in the world am I supposed to do? How are we going to figure out streaming stuff? How are we going to care for one another as a church? As a pastor, how am I supposed to minister to all of these different people? And as I'm trying to sort these things out and figure all these things out, that pressure was building and building and building. And then it was like there was this little voice in my head that said, "You're just one pastor. How are you supposed to do any of this?" And it's like I was about to buckle. And then it just so happens, although it never just so happens with God, that I came across these words in my daily devotional reading. Now, technically, it wasn't these words of Psalm 68. The psalm begins with a quote from Moses back in Numbers 10:35, and that's where I read these words: "May God arise and go forth. May his enemies be scattered. May his foes flee before him." And there's just something about those words that resonated with my heart. And that became my prayer. That I would pray most days when I started here in church. Some days, even before my feet touched the floor as I was getting out of the bed, I would pray those words of Moses: "May God arise. May he go forth. May his enemies be scattered, and may his foes flee before him this day." They gave me comfort and solace, you know, throughout everything that's happened. And so as we prepare to welcome you back together again, I thought it would be appropriate to take some time and reflect on those words together as well from Psalm 68. And as we begin to unpack these words, the first thing I want us to see and understand is that we are reminded that the Lord is leading us on a journey. As we begin in Psalm 68, we are reminded that the Lord is leading us on a journey. David begins again quoting the words of Moses: "Arise, O Lord." May God arise. It's a quote from Numbers 10:35. And so let's go back there and I can give you just a little bit more context for these words. So God had quite literally led his people out of Egypt. He had led them to the holy mountain, to Mount Sinai. They had encountered the presence of the Lord there at the base of it. Moses had gone up to the top of the mountain, and when he came back down, he brought with him plans to construct the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant. Whenever God's people were camped, the Ark of the Covenant was there right in the center of the camp, and they were camped out around it. But whenever they were going to travel, whenever they were going to move from one place to the next, the Ark of the Covenant would be taken out in front of the great line of God's people. And then the cloud of the Lord would descend upon it. And as the Lord prepared to quite literally lead them wherever they were supposed to go that day, Moses would pray these words: "Arise, O Lord, and go forth." And those words, I want to be clear that those words are not Moses telling God what he needs to do. He's not saying, "Hey, God, listen, you said you wanted to be leaving here at 9 o'clock. Listen, I got the Israelites ready. They're in the minivan. We're waiting. It's 9:03. Where are we going? What are you doing?" That's not what's happening here. These words aren't to tell God it's time to get moving, it's time to get going. These words are to remind God's people, everybody that's lined up behind them, that this is not simply a cloud going before us. This is not simply the Ark of the Covenant. This is the living God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, a personal God who loves his people and is in covenant with them, who loves them with a deep and abiding hesed or faithful love, that God cares for you, God is protecting you, and God is going to lead you wherever you go in the day ahead. God is, again, quite literally leading them on a journey. And it's so interesting to me that David picks up on these words because, well, God's kind of done leading them through the cloud and the Ark of the Covenant in that way. By the time of David, I mean, the truth is that God only led the Israelites that way until they got into the Promised Land. After that, we know that those things stopped, but those words of Moses, they still clearly resonated with David. And I think David understood that even though there wasn't always an ark and a giant pillar of cloud going in front of him, that the Lord was leading him through each and every day on the many difficult journeys he'd been through in life as well. And so he begins this psalm echoing the words of Moses. And I think it's a good reminder for us as well, to be reminded that for the past 3 months, each and every day, the Lord has been leading us on a journey as well. It's not just you, it's not just your family, it's not just what's going on in your neighborhood. No, no, no. Every single day, as you've got up to go forth, even though there wasn't a giant pillar of cloud there in front of you, please understand that the Lord was leading you on this journey. And the Lord has led us all through these past 3 months, and the Lord will continue to lead us in the months ahead. But just because the Lord's leading us, it doesn't mean that there won't be any troubles or difficulties along the way. In fact, that's what the next part of the psalm reminds us, that the Lord is leading us, but there is opposition along the way. The Lord is leading us, but there is opposition along the way. We see this in verses both 1 and 2. "May his enemies be scattered. May his foes flee before him. As smoke is blown away by the wind, may you blow them away. As wax melts before the fire, may the wicked perish before God." David uses two word pictures here to describe what he wants to see happen to this opposition to the Lord. The first is that they would be blown away like smoke. The same way that a breeze can quickly disperse that black smoke from your bonfire, and that thick darkness is shown to be insubstantial, David is praying, may God and his strength simply blow away those enemies, and may they be shown to be just as insubstantial as smoke. The second imagery he uses is melting wax. And when we read that, most of our minds probably jump to candles. The only problem is that historically, it doesn't seem as if Israelites had wicked candles back then that they would have used. But we do know that they did use wax in a different way in the ancient Near East, which is quite interesting to me with an engineering background. What they would do is they would carve shapes and figurines out of wax. And then they would take that shape that they'd carved, because wax is easy to work with and shape, and they would coat it, they would cover it in clay, leaving a small open spot at the top. And then what they would do is they would take liquid, molten hot metal, and they would pour it in the top of the mold that they created. The wax would instantly melt away. And then, after the metal had cooled, you could crack the clay, and you would have this new cast form. And in fact, they use that type of molding still today in engineering. I did it back when I was in college to do that same type of thing. Well, they had that technology then. And that's the imagery we have here. And honestly, it's much more powerful than like a flame slowly melting away a candle. This is the liquid, hot, molten metal and fire of God just instantly laying waste to his enemies. But in these words, I think there is a truth here that's easy for us to overlook or to miss. Something that's very true and attested to throughout the pages of Scripture that we rarely, if ever, even give a second thought to. And that's this, that there is opposition out there. That there are forces, spiritual forces, actively working against God and his plans for us and this world. You know, when David quotes Moses here, that may your foes flee before God. You know what that word foe means? It means someone who hates. There are people out there, there are forces out there in this world that hate God and that want to do anything they can to impede the journey he is seeking to lead us on. And I don't think we really wrestle with that truth. I don't think that's something that really even goes through our heads most of the time. I think for a lot of us, when we get up and we think about the day ahead, to us the biggest challenge, the biggest obstacle, the biggest opposition in our day is going to be, oh man, I got to figure out Little League. The park district's got Little League up and going and it's going to be different, and we got to go and figure out what that's going to be like, and that's the biggest challenge in our day. Or we think, the biggest challenge in my day is going to be, I got a few things still left on my shopping list, I just haven't been able to find them. I've been looking for some ice cream I wanted and some bread flour, and haven't been able to find them at the places I've been going. Hopefully I can find them today, as if that is the biggest obstacle or challenge in our day. Or maybe we think, oh, got to go to the doctor. And you know, our biggest challenge is, well, remembering everything to tell the doctor and remembering everything the doctor tells us, because your two daughters who normally go in with you can't because of the current COVID-19 restrictions. And we think that those challenges, those obstacles, those really things on our to-do list are the biggest challenge in our day. And it does not even cross our minds that there might be spiritual forces actively working against us, that the Lord is seeking to lead us on a journey, and there are forces in this world working against us. As Paul puts it this way in Ephesians 6:12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. The biggest challenge in your day is not figuring out Little League or going to the doctor or getting that stuff off your grocery list. He says, our struggle is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We don't often think about it, but do you understand that Satan would love nothing more than for you to show up at Little League and for you to be frustrated and upset that it's not as organized as you want it to be. There was a part of you that thought you were ready for your kids to kind of go back to normal, but then when you see everything happening, you realize you weren't really ready for them to go back to normal, and then you lose your temper with that volunteer coach, and you are just taking that anxiety and that worry and that stress and strain to every conversation and interaction you have for the rest of the day. Satan would love for that to happen. Do you understand that Satan would love, he would love for the highlight of your day to have nothing to do with God whatsoever. He would love for the highlight of your day to be, you know what, I went into Lindy's and they had the bread flour I wanted, and then when I was looking through the ice cream, there at the bottom where someone tried to hide it, I found a quart of quarantine crunch. I don't know who was trying to hide that Uncle Bob's back there, but I got it for myself. My day is made. And for ice cream to be the highlight of your day and to for God not even to enter the picture. You're thinking, I really like ice cream. I don't see what the problem is. But you know, God provided it, and yet we don't even give him a second thought. And that's what Satan would love. Do you understand that if a distracted nurse or doctor can make you frustrated and upset and can cause you to worry and not be trusting in God or relying to him or going to him in prayer, if that can distract you, if that can set you off the path the Lord is leading you on, then there's a decent chance that may come your way. So often we forget that there are forces out there that are actively working against us, actively working against the path that God is seeking to lead us on in our lives. And interestingly enough, it was that truth that resonated with me so much 3 months ago as I was sitting there in my office, and that it just anxiety and worry about what to do was building and building. As I read this passage, it was as if God was saying to me, just in my heart, you know that that worry and anxiety, that seems a bit more than you normally have. And you've had some curveballs in ministry before. And you know, this isn't normally how you respond to stress. And you know, that little voice that's saying, you're just one pastor, what are you going to do? What difference can you make? Well, that's probably not just from all this COVID-19 stuff. And God was definitely saying, that's not from me. So where do you think that's coming from? And it was like God was helping me understand that Satan would love nothing more than to kick the legs out from under me. Like 1 week into this thing. And then I thought I only had to keep things going till Easter, you know, let alone till June 28th. And if Satan could attack me and get me off the path God was leading me, then it could infect you and our church family and beyond. But these words, you know, they just resonated with me, and they reminded me that the Lord is leading us on this journey. And there is opposition along the way. But it also reminded me that God is greater than any opposition. That God is greater than anything I may face along the way. And he can and will guide me through it. In fact, we see this reflected in verses 3-6, that we can rejoice because God who guides us on this journey is greater than our opposition. God who guides us on our journey is greater than our opposition. These are the words of 3-6. The psalmist says, may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. Sing to God. Sing and praise his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord, and rejoice before him. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. It's interesting, in verses 3-4, as David reflects on the reality of this opposition, he does not respond with fear or anxiety or worry. He does not shirk back from the reality of what's there. Instead, he rejoices. He praises the Lord because he knows God is greater. Just listen to those words again and hear how many different ways David refers to praising God. He says, may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy, joyful. May they sing to God. May they praise his name. May they extol him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord, and rejoice in him. Again and again and again. Our response to the idea that God is leading us on this journey, even in the face of opposition, is to rejoice because God is greater than any opposition we may face. We want to make sure, though, we do embrace this truth in a biblical way. And when I say that, what I mean is this. Just because God is greater than any opposition we may face does not mean that there won't be any difficulties or struggles in our lives as we follow the path the Lord is leading us on. I mean, Jesus is the one person that perfectly followed the path the Lord that was leading on him, leading him on, and there were absolutely struggles and difficulties and conflicts and betrayals in his life and ministry here on earth. Or if we look at David, who wrote the psalm, I mean, he had a whole lot of struggles in his life. I mean, he was running from Saul throughout his middle ages. When he was young and serving in Saul's court, he was trying to kill him. Even after David became king and was ruling, there were still troubles and difficulties. Or go back to Moses, who initially spoke these words that opened up the psalm. As he took the people out of Egypt into the promised land, trouble is one of the few things that we see happen again and again and again and again. Even in the psalm itself, he talks about God as the defender of widows, the father of the fatherless. But that means that there are people that are fatherless, that have lost that person. That means there are widows who have lost that support. There are going to be challenges, and there are going to be struggles, and there is going to be loss. And nowhere in the Bible does God ever try and act like that's not going to be the reality in this fallen, broken world. But what makes David rejoice and praise the Lord is not that there are no struggles whatsoever, but that he knows that God can faithfully lead him through them. Because he will be a father to the fatherless. He will be a defender to the widows. They're the lonely, and he will set them in families. He will use the family of Israel to strengthen and support them. He leads the prisoners forth with singing. He's looking back here to their time in Egypt and how God has led them forth, and they can sing and praise his name. There are troubles. There are difficulties, but there can be rejoicing as well because we understand that God is leading us through and God is greater still than any opposition that we've faced. And that's important for us to remember as well. I think especially as we head out of one phase of quarantine and prepare to transfer into the next, I think that in our lives, in our hearts, there's two things that happen to us. One is, we say, hey, I did pretty good. You know, I kept my family together, or, you know, I really buckled in and we made this work, or our family worked together and we did a great job enduring these past 3 months of COVID-19, and now we're moving on stronger than we went into it, as if the power and strength came from us to overcome. That's not where it came from. It came from the Lord. Of course, the other thing that happens for us, because we are Midwesterners, and I know this tendency, is to not even acknowledge a transition from one thing to the next. To just act like nothing happened. Nothing changed. There was no problem. I just carried on because I'm a Midwesterner, and that's what we do. And again, I feel like that's a discredit to God, who has led us every single day, who has provided, who has strengthened us, and who has helped carry us through. We don't want to act like we did it on our own, and we don't want to act like nothing was done. We've been through a lot, people. There's been a lot that's happened. If you just even think back to what it was like 2 months ago, or 3 months ago, or 1 month ago. But God has faithfully led us through, and he is greater than any of the opposition that we face. And you know what? God is going to continue to guide us in the weeks and months ahead. And as we prepare for that, as we enter into that, I will tell you this. My prayer for myself, my family, and our church family will continue to be the same. Arise, O Lord, and go forth. May your enemies be scattered, and may your foes flee before you. Would you close with me in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you in prayer, and we thank you. We acknowledge that there has been a lot that's gone on these past 3 months, Lord, from bringing people home safely that were snowbirds to helping us out in those early days when nobody could even find toilet paper or hand sanitizer. Lord, you always made sure we had what we needed. Lord, to carrying us through in the month of June when we just kind of felt like we've been hanging in the wind in this in-between time. Lord, you've been there through it all. You've led us every day, Lord. You've been there before us. And so we give you glory, honor, and praise. And we lift up the journey ahead, Lord. And we look for the great things you will continue to do. We pray these things in the name of your Son and by the power of your Spirit. Amen. Let me leave you with a word from the Lord from 2 Corinthians 13:14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Oh, I